Welcome, everyone. This is Jim Boy Star, and this is the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. In just a few weeks, we're going to have a roundtable. But, yeah, okay, some people might think, oh, of course, they're going to do another let's look at the year in review kind of thing. And yes, part of it will be that. But, also, it's going to focus on the fact that there are some people out there that don't even think that we as human beings will exist in 2012. So, with that in mind, we'll talk more about the details of that upcoming show and much more on this week's edition of the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. The following program is for mature audiences only. This program may contain foul language and sexual content. For those that are listening, please be advised. Everyone, Jim Boy Star here along with Bill this week.
Hello again, everybody.
Hello. So how's things gone for you? I mean, you know, last week we had Black Friday. Did you venture out into the stores like Mr. Anonymous did?
No, I was one of the smart ones and I stayed home on Black Friday.
And what did you do?
I watched sports all day, really.
There were things going on in the sports world?
Yeah, there was a lot of college football on, and there was a hockey game, I think. So I just stayed and watched that all day.
Did the teams you want to win win, or was it like you don't care? You didn't care who was playing?
I didn't care.
Right, right. So and have you started on your Christmas shopping?
I have. It's a little bit slow, but it'll pick up this week. Got to get some stuff. Not going to say who, but, you know, stuff for the family.
Right, of course, of course. Speaking of Christmas, of course, the WWE celebrated their Christmas special in November.
Oh.
You know, I didn't watch it because I watch other shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyone who's known me, like, for the past year, I'd probably say year plus, I've been really getting into various television shows. One mm-hmm. of those shows being Glee, and Glee was on, so obviously that took priority for me over SmackDown. But reading the reviews, I've actually heard, and I don't mean just a random message board person, I've read like people like, I know one of them was from PW Insider, like people that have been, you know, covering wrestling for a long time. Mm-hmm. Quoted in saying that it was the worst SmackDown of the entire year, which I think covers a lot. Now, did you get a chance to watch this special?
Now, I was going back and forth the first hour between that and Rudolph, because I still watch the holiday
Rudolph
specials.
Was on? Oh, I wish I would have done that. It would have been a Tuesday night war for me, Rudolph versus Glee.
Although I think it may be back on again later. I don't know when.
I would hope so. I mean, if it's because again, it goes back to it's not even December.
Yeah, it's not even December.
Well, now it is. See, when we're recording this, but
yeah, and I was a little bit surprised when I first heard they were doing a holiday special on a in November. Like you said, it was November.
Yeah.
Was it the worst SmackDown of the year? I can't really say because, you know, I don't really watch SmackDown that much. Mm-hmm. It had a couple of good moments, I thought. The cage match, I thought, was good. I thought that was a good match.
I did watch that. I did watch the cage match because I was kind of interested to see, which I didn't understand one thing. And if you can please answer this, because I know I asked Mr. Anonymous off the air at some point, he said there was no explanation. Now, you're okay. Talking to a guy that doesn't really watch, like, I watch every other wrestling, TNA, Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
You know, so, I went to a CZW show a couple of weeks ago. You know, I go to various independent shows, try to catch what I can. I pretty much try to keep up on everything except WWE. I don't really like their product, whatever. I have my reasons. But So you're talking to someone that hasn't really followed anything. Mark, I tuned in to watch this Mark Henry Daniel Bryan match. First thing I noticed, Mark Henry has a I don't really want to say a cast, but it was on his ankle. Maybe it was a cast, because I know that they were playing off that the Big Show injured him or whatnot. On why was he allowed to wrestle? Why did the doctors, the medically say, yeah, you're okay. We're just gonna put this cast thing on your ankle and you can compete. Was that explained ever?
I don't think it ever was.
See, this is coming from, like I said, a viewer that just tuned in, is not following anything. That's the first thing I noticed when I turned on that match.
See, I don't know if like Teddy Long forced Mark Henry into that match or if the doctor said, okay, he's cleared to wrestle. I don't know. I didn't get that story
For
either.
but for the doctor, like, okay, let's say you're at your job, right? And this can pretty apply to pretty much anyone. You come in with a neck brace on. I think that pretty much tells everyone you're not able to work. So I don't know how the doctor could have said. And if granted, if it, we've seen good guys do it, like in the Attitude Era. I remember The Rock had a cast on for a while. But here's the difference: is The Rock was a good guy. So he had the whole, oh no, I want to go out there. I want to do it for the fans. Or, he's determined because he absolutely hates the person that he'll risk maybe having his career ended and goes against the doctor's orders. Mark Henry doesn't have that. He's a bad guy and he didn't really have a feud with Daniel Bryan, at least to my knowledge.
Not really. I mean, Big Show sort of threw Daniel Bryan into the feud that he had with Mark Henry. And like the previous week, Daniel had cashed in the money in the bank and had pinned Henry to win the belt. And then Teddy is like, oh no, player. See, Mark Henry wasn't cleared to wrestle, player.
See, and that goes
So
back to this week now. So now all of a sudden he
he's
is with the
cleared.
cast.
Yeah.
I don't know, but to me, the one thing that here's the stuff that I read that people seem to not like about this show. Number one, and like I said, if you did so you first hour you went back and forth because it was the Rudolph battle,
Yeah.
for you. But did you catch the second hour fully?
Yes, I did.
Okay, here's what seems to be from what I've read, is the major problems. One, there was really no progression to the pay-per-view and maybe even storylines in general.
None.
Hornswoggle won some kind of battle royal.
Yeah, I'll explain that real quick.
Yeah,
What
please.
it was, well, like I said, it was a battle royal. The winner of the battle royal got to go to Santa Claus, Mick Foley, got to gr and Santa Claus would grant the winner's wish. Now, the first when I heard it the first time, I was like, okay, this has got to be Zack Ryder winning the battle royal, getting a U.S. title shot. That was the first thing I thought.
It would make sense.
It would. Zack isn't even on the show.
Now, were there Raw people on, though? At all?
There were a couple. Kofi Kingston was on. Gosh, who else was on that was from Raw? I don't.
Was the Big Show on? Because people tend to forget that the Big Show is still Raw.
No, Big Show was not on. Oh, David Otunga was on.
And he's Raw. Okay.
But there weren't a lot of Raw guys on, but Big Show wasn't on. So the Hornswoggle thing and the way it ended. I mean, I'm not gonna say it was great, but it was different. But the whole wish thing and what came after that actually was sort of a funny bit, because Hornswoggle can now talk.
Oh, he can. Okay.
Yeah, he can now talk. So he goes over and he's like, "Tree, tree," and he goes, "Twins, twin," pointing to the Bellas. And then he goes over, "Grandma," and there's Vicky Guerrero, and she's like, "Excuse me," and he's like, "Excuse me," and it goes back and forth for a couple more seconds. So, I'm glad that they are now allowing Hornswoggle to talk. I'm hoping, and this is WWE, so this is hoping a lot, but I'm hoping that that can go towards something good. Of course, it'll be for entertainment purposes only, but, you know, still, it's Hornswoggle.
Right, right. So, like I said, those were the main things, at least that I read, that, you know, people had a problem, no storyline progression, people had a problem with Hornswoggle, winning, and but there was something else that I read, too. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think, like I said, the main, you know, no pay-per-view build, apparently, and, I don't know, I guess some people thought there was a, you know, they expected something out of the main event, and nothing really happened at all, if you think about it. So, I mean, that's the main complaints. Like I said, I didn't watch it, and, you know, I can't really comment on it myself. Oh, no, it definitely sounds like I didn't miss much at all. It sounds like all I did was miss a holiday special that is WWE's form of entertainment. Trust me, I think I was much happier watching Glee. Although I wish I knew Rudolph was on. That would have been a fun Tuesday night war for me.
Yeah, really.
Rudolph versus Glee. I could either watch Rudolph, which was obviously focusing on a little red-nosed reindeer, or I can watch Glee, which was focused on a lesbian coming out of the closet and accepting herself.
Now, I do have to ask a Glee question, even though I never watch it.
Sure.
I saw a commercial once where Lea Michele's character, I don't know her name. Rachel, okay. Did she end up losing her virginity on that show?
You know, they did tease it. I want to say it's a yes for that, but I honestly hated that episode. I think that was the worst episode of the season. It was called First Time, I think. I think it could be debatable on either one, on if some people said it or not, if she actually did it or not. It's weird because, like, the format makes me think, like, okay, the whole family can watch it. And then, like, stuff like that, I'm like, okay, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not. But anyway, so, no, like, it could have been Glee versus Rudolph. You know, some people are other also in the holiday spirit is Impact Wrestling. In fact, they had, like, the Thong Throwdown or something like that. Which makes me wonder, is Impact Wrestling going more towards the route of the Attitude Era, where, you know, you have your bra and panties matches? Are the women becoming more, they're focusing less on the in-ring and more on the looks? And if so, is that, in your opinion, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Obviously, you're going to be unbiased, unlike Mr. Anonymous would probably beg to see ODB in a thong.
You know what? I wouldn't mind it. I really wouldn't. Well, let me look up the pictures again. But I think, you know, with the women that they have, you know, like Velvet Sky, you know, and Tara, Mickey James, those women, you know, I would love to see that. Unlike Angelina Love, and I'll say this for the record. Angelina, if you're listening to the show, I will transplant my fat into your body so you look like an actual woman.
Wow.
But I mean, like, to be honest, I wouldn't mind seeing more of that. That might get me back to TNA wrestling.
Yeah, now see, on the opposite side here, while I don't follow WWE that much, Bill doesn't follow TNA wrestling that much. And like you said, I mean, and what is it that would make you follow? Is it just the good looks, or is it, like, the fact that maybe... See, because what... Is it, like, because... You know that it's not, it gives that an indication that it's not a kid's show, obviously.
Right.
Like, what is it that would make you watch if they started doing this more?
More airtime for SoCal Val. That's all I need.
All right, so I guess that's your girl as opposed to Mr. Anonymous with ODB.
Yeah.
And Bam on her ass, which he's all excited about. But anyway, so you know what, though? The thing is, a lot of people are like, the women's division, obviously the women's division's much better than WWE's.
Yeah.
Because any women's division is much better than WWE's.
Oh, yeah, that's agreed upon.
But now, is that going to take away from the women's wrestling? If you...
See, and I hope not, because unlike WWE, where they have maybe one or two females that can wrestle, The women's division in TNA, they actually got women that can wrestle. I mean, Mickie James, Velvet Sky, Madison Rayne, ODB, who else? Angelina Love can wrestle, Winter, you know.
I mean, it's weird because the face of the the face of the Knockouts division. And I've said this on the Bound for Glory show that we did, when that was happening. You know, Velvet Sky seems to be like their person that they want to push the most. Yet I think she's probably one of the weaker in ring workers out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there is plenty of talent. You're absolutely right. Gail Kim, obviously. Don't forget about her.
Well, I didn't want to say Gail because she had just came back, but okay. She is good.
Right. You know, it's weird. I don't. We'll have to see how this plays out. But, you know, and Ring of Honor, the third largest promotion right now, is thinking of doing a women's division. And we're going to take a quick promo break, but and word of the day. And when we come back, though, I want to talk about that. And that's Sarah Del Rey pushing to get a women's division in Ring of Honor. Did you know that WWE Vengeance 2011's pay-per-view event garnered 130,000 buys overall? This makes it the second lowest buy rate in WWE history. Now that I found you, I won't let you go, because together, we can listen to archives of the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show at sunsetfliprestling.podomatic.com. All right, everyone, welcome. This is Jimboy Star right here on Decadance Radio as part of the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. It is your weekly word of the day, and this week's word of the day is operose. O-P-E-R-O-S-E. The definition is done with or involving much labor. Industrious as a person. Here's it used in a sentence. But what an operose method. What a train of means to cure a little conversation. And that's from Ralph Waldo Emerson, Essays. And now I'm going to use the word of the day in regards to pro wrestling. Some people that may have watched the live SmackDown earlier this week watched with operose, as opposed to watching it and being entertained. And that was your word of the day, operose, brought to you by the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. All right, everyone, we're back here. It is the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, myself and Bill. So Sarah Del Rey was doing an interview earlier this week and was pushing for a women's division in Ring of Honor, of course. She's one of the only women featured in Ring of Honor, so I guess it makes sense for her to push for a division. But here's what bothers me, and let me just say this, Sarah Del Rey seems to be an absolutely nice person. I'm sure this wasn't meant, but this is how it comes across to me. In that same interview, she mentions how her number one goal is to be in WWE. Mm-hmm. Which I still don't understand why women's number one goal is that, but whatever. So basically, to me, that was kind of like a smack to Ring of Honor. So basically, she's saying she wants to develop this women's division so that, because she would no doubt be the face of the women's division there.
Yeah.
For being the longest person. And then once WWE notices because there's a women's division there, peace out. And then they're left hung and dry. There's no benefit at all, in my opinion, for Ring of Honor to do this at all.
I don't think so either. I mean, they've had, you know, for years, even going back to almost the beginning, they've had so many women wrestlers come in, come out, come back in, go back out. And Sarah Del Rey, for, you know, has been, like you said, she's been the face of, as far as women's wrestling goes, at Ring of Honor. Honestly, I don't think a women's division could work there, because, the like you said, there's like two or three people that are basically it. And then you got everybody else.
How many people can we, how many times does she want to show us her versus Daisy Hayes?
Exactly. and that was a problem I felt when they were on HDNet, was you'd have Sarah Del Rey against local female wrestler number 12, and then Daisy Hayes against local female wrestler number 7, and you knew what the outcome of that match was going to be. So if they were to do a women's division, they got to get more talent and let others win besides Sarah and Daisy.
No, I definitely agree with that. Put them under contract. But like I said, again, I don't even think that would even work. See, I think the problem that I think with some people is that I guess they think that people actually do care about women's wrestling as a whole. Like, okay, yeah, some of them are really good. Like we mentioned before, the knockouts. They are great, but yet you don't see them getting, like, fours and fives. You know, like, it's not like that's the thing that's going to drive Impact Wrestling over the two mark. You know, otherwise it would have happened. Hell, they headlined one main event with Mickey James versus Tara in a cage, and it was a great match. I'm not taking anything away from any of these women, but the past has shown us that, as a whole, women's wrestling is not a big draw. In general, people don't care about it. Look at the last season of NXT was all women. Guess what? It was canceled within the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why Trish and Lita survived on Raw was because they Kane was supposed to. I remember there were heavy rumors Kane was going to come back during that one because he was out for a while. He was involved with both of them as far as a feud goes. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't show up, and then we just had the match. I remember being disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, you not often will you see on Raw or Impact or SmackDown a women's match being the main event of the show. Could I see Ring of Honor doing that? Yeah, maybe. I mean, it depends on who it is. Or they could have Sarah Del Rey face a guy. I mean, she's done a lot of that this year in wrestling. I wouldn't mind seeing that match, or like her against, say, like Davey Richards. That would be a hell of a match.
I was going to say, just don't put my favorite little lumberjack in there, Grizzly Redwood. He'd destroy everyone.
Oh, no.
But, I do think that they can do it, especially on this Sinclair taping, because think about it. They have to have four different main events per show.
Yeah.
Having her, like, as the main event women's match, that would work. Like, they can do it. But again, I still say that creating a women's division as a whole, it's not going to help the company. And depending on their money-wise, it might hurt them. I don't know. It depends how much the contracts are going to cost.
Yeah, plus you have to have one specific person find all this talent to create the women's division. And that's a big job.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is there anyone that you would think of that's not under a deal with Impact or WWE?
Ooh. I can't think of anyone.
Now, really. See, that's the problem that Ring of Honor would have.
The only one that came to mind, and it wouldn't work, but I'll just say it anyway, would be Finlay, only because, you know, he helped most of those, you know, wrestlers in WWE, the women, you know, become, at the time, you know, good wrestlers. I mean, look at Christy Hemme, for example, a great example. Mm-hmm. She started wrestling, you know, she wasn't really the best. I mean, she was only there for Playboy and that cute little butt that she has.
Right.
But during time, she got better and was actually a decent wrestler, you know, before WWE let her go.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you actually misread my question, because I wasn't really talking about who was leading the Ring of Honor division. I'm saying who's not under contract of WWE or TNA who you would put under contract for this Ring of Honor division.
Yeah, and I honestly, I don't have an answer for that.
I can only think of one person that I can think of, and that's indie wrestler Mercedes Martinez.
Ooh,
she's pretty good.
Yeah.
And she, of course, she played the bullfighter Maria Toro on Wrestlicious, for those that don't know. But no, that other than that, and if you think about it, that's going to be Ring of Honor's main test is, okay, who's not under contract?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm really hoping that Ring of Honor would stay away from Miss Botchamania.
Oh yeah, you had the same thought I had.
I think they would though. I don't think they would. They would take. I don't think they would take her at all. To be honest with you,
she'd get booed out of the building the first night.
Thank God. But okay, so, but now on to a little bit of more controversial news. I don't know if you read this, because I forgot to mention to you before we started the show that we were going to talk about this. Apparently someone has received the rights to the movie for Chris Benoit's life. Did you read anything about this?
A little bit. Not as much as probably you did.
SRG Films bought the rights. You know, it's from this book Ring of Hell, apparently. I haven't read it. I'm not a very big book reader.
I heard about the book. I didn't read it, but I've heard about the book.
Now, they're currently looking for potential actors and directors, apparently. Your thoughts on this? I mean, this is a major thing in regards to wrestling, and one of the things people wonder is can WWE be mentioned? Because obviously they're not going to want any part of this project.
Oh, I know. They're going to, you know, not want anything near this project. I think timing-wise, as far as doing it, I think this is a good time because it's been 4.5 years since that whole weekend happened.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I am glad about is, like, nobody did a made-for-TV movie that came out, like, 4 months later of this whole story and have all the facts wrong.
That's true.
I mean, I can imagine, tonight, on Lifetime, what happens when a world-class wrestler kills his wife and son and kills himself. You know, some stupid crap like that. Yeah, this is still, you know, like a touchy subject even to this day. Would I go pay to see it? I think it would depend on who is in the movie.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, who would make you go see the movie?
Ooh. For some reason, the first one I'm thinking of is Hugh Jackman.
As Benoit?
As Benoit.
All right. I don't like him now anyway, so that's fine.
And then maybe you could have somebody play Eddie Guerrero in there.
Now, see the question is, though, and this goes back to the WWE wanting nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you even allowed to say Eddie Guerrero? Are you was Benoit his little? Yeah, Benoit had to be his real name. Guerrero, yeah. What can you say? Like, what is the limits when it comes to? I think you can obviously use, the words WWE simply because it's a fact that that's where he worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're making that up.
Yeah,
I don't think they can. I don't think they can say no. You can't say that he did not work there because he did. It's a fact. There's paperwork on it.
I mean, like, I'm sure they're going to, you know, be able to do, like, stuff from Japan where, you know, Benoit wrestled for a while and Canada. But, like, when it gets to, say, like, ECW or WCW, which WWE owns, I don't know if they're going to be allowed to get away with that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you're not going to see any footage of
no.
his matches. You're just going to see, you know what, it's probably not so much different as, like, that show, The Unsolved Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Where they kind of just making everyone, you know, they just remake the thing themselves.
Yeah.
And it's all different actors, different settings. It's probably mm-hmm. going to be just like that.
Man.
I mean, so you don't think it's too soon or too late that no one cares or...
I think people will always be interested in the whole Benoit story. As far as caring, Oh, gosh. I think there are going to be people that will always care. I mean, I remember watching a DVD once of like these clips from shoot interviews talking about the whole Benoit thing. And one of them said that he believes still to this day that Benoit never did it.
Who said that? Do you remember?
Snitsky. I think it was Snitsky.
Of course, it's not his fault.
Exactly. But no, I mean, I don't think it's too soon. I mean, if they, like I said, if they had done it 4 months after as a TV movie, that would have been too soon.
Right.
But 5-6 years after, I think that's a good time.
All right. I mean, you know, I definitely don't think it's too soon. I think probably the only people that... like I said, I kind of question the care outside of the wrestling world with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone outside of... if you're a wrestling fan, yeah, okay, obviously, this is a touchy subject, yada yada yada. But I really don't think anyone outside of pro wrestling actually cares.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But we'll see what happens, because... You know, the second thing is to get it cleared in theaters. And again, that goes back to the care factor for the general public. And wrestling's just not, like... You know, or in general, is not, like, the in thing right now.
Right.
Obviously, if it was, like Twilight, then it would get in. They could somehow make Benoit be a vampire, they'd probably get in. But as a wrestler, it's probably harder because it's not the in thing.
Exactly.
WWE had an article on their website, apparently, and I didn't even get a chance to read it, probably because I was just too lazy. WWE had, like, an article about, like, the biggest turkeys, and they got a lot of backlash from people that they mentioned. I know one was Kazarni and someone else, but, oh, Vito.
Hmm.
So they took it down, but is it because people, the guys were complaining, or because Thanksgiving's over?
Ooh, maybe because people were complaining.
Did you read the article or no? Can you tell me who was on this turkey list?
I think, okay, you said Kazarni. Kazarni was on there. Michael Cole, I think, was on that list. I didn't see the whole list. But, see, I think the problem with that is, well, with Kazarni, I can understand because he was on for, like, what, 2 weeks?
Yes, and I had the privilege of seeing him live in one of those 2 weeks. It was right here in New Jersey in late December of, I want to say, either 2008 or 2009.
Yeah.
I was there for his debut. I'm so proud of that. I'm more proud of that. I'm more proud of that than I am that I was at Survivor Series. No, because anyone could go to a Survivor Series. Survivor Series is going to last till God knows when. Not anyone else could say they went and saw Kazarni live against MVP. In fact, the only people that could say it were the people in that arena that night. Well, and then the week before. Which was funny, by the way. Let me just say this real quick. The funniest thing was me and my friend, the Big Swinging Rod, who was a former personality on the show, went to this show. And the show was... It was their... Because they seem to have, for the last couple of years, had a tradition of between Christmas and New Year's of being in the tri-state area. Yeah. Probably because McMahon lives in Connecticut. And that way, his staff doesn't have to go too far if, you know, when they do stuff on the holidays. But, so we go to this event, and it was a double taping, double SmackDown taping, all right? They had they started at 7, and it would last till, like, you know, 11, 11:30.
Okay.
So we watched the first show. We're totally convinced that half the people didn't know that there was a second taping. Because after the first one, everyone left, despite the fact... That the ring announcer said, all right, we're going to take a 15 to 20 minute intermission while we set up for the more SmackDown tapings.
Right.
We were totally convinced no one knew. Everyone was just dumb and just left and figured there was only one taping. But that's the show that I saw Kazarni on. What a privilege.
Now, I'll say this real quick before I get to the turkey thing. Because you were talking about that. I was at a house show back in 2002. I was at the first house show after Billy and Chuck got engaged.
Yes, all right.
And I tell you, when the first word or note played, the whole building popped.
And where was this? In the
in DC at the Verizon Center.
Okay.
And I mean, like, the, like, you know, ring announcer did his thing, and it was a house show.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the first words, like, "Oh, baby," and everyone was like, "Oh, it's Billy and Chuck."
They should have merged them off more.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. So back to the turkeys. See, I don't blame Kozarni. I really don't.
So you don't think this was an overreaction?
No. However, for other people, I Kozarni, I can understand, because like I said, he was on for like 2 weeks probably, and that was it. For everybody else, I mean, if they're not, I don't think WWE's like bashing you saying, "Oh, you're a turkey." I mean, Vito, you wore a dress for how long? You know, and Michael Cole, you know, is a
though
is
he's
a
an employee.
Guy.
He's not. He's
yeah,
not going to.
He's
complain.
A company guy.
He'll be fired.
Yeah, he exactly. Like if somebody came out with a list and they said, "Oh, Bill, you're a turkey," I don't care. That's your opinion.
There it is. Next year, Sunset Flip Wrestling's top five turkeys. Bill's number one. Let's see if he. Let's see if he sticks to this and not being upset about it.
I'll have to do something like totally stupid. To be number one.
No comment there. But okay, so anyway, like I said, I think the turkey thing, whatever. If you're mad, I guess I could see it both ways. I'm not really gonna choose one way or the other. All right, we're gonna take another promo break, and I want to talk about this this roundtable that's coming up later in this month, or at least a little bit about that. And plus, we'll have Bill talk about some things that might be on his mind. All this and much more on the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. Stop in the name of love before you break my heart. But you can get over a heartbreak by checking out the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show Facebook page at www.facebook.com/sunsetflipshow. On December 22nd, it is the End of the World radio show. It is a special edition of the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, focusing on the fact that 2012 could be it. So tune in for this two-hour special right here on Decadance Radio, the End of the World Roundtable, as part of the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show. Some people out there think that it's going to be the end of the world in 2012. So if it is, we're doing the final roundtable show on the 22nd. It is a Thursday. It's the last show of the year and maybe in our lives. Your thoughts on the whole 2012 thing, Bill?
All right. I'm going to say this straight up.
You're
people
scared.
Of the world. 2012 will not be the end of the world. We're going to be fine. The sun will still rise, the clouds will still be there, and Sunset Flip Wrestling Show will still be around in 2012 and beyond.
And by the way, for this roundtable, we do have confirmed that the man that you're listening to right now, Bill, will be one of the four people doing the show.
Yeah.
With no fear that this will not be his final words to the public. What
yes.
is it 2012, by the way? Do you have any idea? Like, why? What was figured out that it... Because it's not like this just occurred, like, in the past 6 months.
Like, I think what it was, the Mayan calendar, when it was created thousands of years ago, had it stop at December 2012. And, like, I remember reading once that a Mayan actually said that the world is not going to end in 2012. It's almost like the whole Y2K thing. Everybody's making a big deal about it. Like, oh my God, Y2K, everything's going to blow up. It's going to be the end of the world. And nothing happened. So we're coming to 2012. I've got that same mindset, you know, like, oh my God, 20, you know, it's like, oh my God, 2012, you know, not going to be the end of the world.
And what if it is?
Then we'll all be dead.
There it is. Well, regardless whether we're alive or we're not, we're going to be doing this roundtable. Definitely tune for that. More information in the upcoming weeks. And yes, it'll be somewhat of a year-end thing. And also, honestly, I'm thinking of making it like, all right, so if we die, what will we remember from wrestling the most? I'm actually thinking of going that route for like one of the years. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. We may. I think that might be it. We'll like each pick a moment. Like, what will we remember? Like, and I'm hoping that maybe someone says Glacier. So, this past Monday on Raw, we had Cena and Piper. I watched it on YouTube after it was done. I don't even remember what I was doing Monday, because Monday I don't watch football anyway. So yeah. I was probably doing something. Did you catch this?
I did catch this.
I thought it was very uneventful.
It wasn't, you know, because of the crowd's whole reaction. I don't know if it's because, you know, Piper's been on so many times. And
yeah, is Piper turning into the next Slaughter where, like, he appears so many times that eventually I'm like, yeah, I don't care anymore. You can do.
I hope. You can hope.
Because that's what it is for Slaughter. When I see Slaughter, it's just like I breathe a heavy sigh. I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, Slaughter hasn't been on in a while.
No, not lately, but I'm just saying the last time I saw him, it was...
Although he was on Jimmy Fallon the other night.
Why?
They were doing, like, some parody commercial thing, and Sergeant Slaughter was in it.
Oh. I was going to say, I was like, wait, what movie is Slaughter going to be on? What TV show is Slaughter going to be on? And he's on Jimmy Fallon. There it is, Sergeant Slaughter on The Walking Dead.
Listen up, you maggots! And then all the zombies from Walking Dead eat him.
Yeah, there it is. Well, no, then they turn him into a zombie himself. And then, okay, we're going too far.
Actually, eat a maggot.
We went way too far off topic. Back to Piper. I mean, yes. Look, I watched it, and like, here's what I said. I was like, I watch a lot of television shows. You know, on a weekly basis, because I like the fact, you know, follow the stories of various things, yada, yada, yada. So when I watched this, I was like, okay, in a nutshell, Piper slapped Cena. That's all that happened.
Yep.
I'm not trying to look, just like I do with TV shows. If they show something, I'm like, that's all that happened. Nothing much. People are looking way too into it, and that's what I think happened with this segment.
Well, I mean, like, he was just trying, he was like, oh, you know, all these fans are booing you, you know, you're gonna blah, 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 and Cena is like, okay, so they boo me, so what? That's not really much of anything, really.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it makes me wonder why WWE thinks that we should cheer for Cena if, like, he's constantly just not really fighting back ever.
Now, I'm wondering if, and this may happen, because this is WWE, and we're almost towards, you know, WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
What if week after week, but say like every 2-3 weeks, one legend comes on, talks about the whole fans thing and booing him. Then we go another 2-3 weeks, you know, and we keep doing this until like, say, the Monday before WrestleMania, and somebody says something that finally convinces John Cena. The whole thing about the fans booing him and getting to him.
Mm.
There's a chance that could happen.
Right, and you know, clearly everybody in the world wants to see a heel turn from Cena. But my question to you is this, because I was thinking about this the other day. If Cena does do this, let's say your proposed thing happens, is it really a heel turn? And I say this because I think back to heel turns from almost all the time, where basically they do some... I'm just using this for an example, just because it's the latest one I can think of, is when Rude turned on James Storm. Mm-hmm. You know, he's bad now, he's doing the cheating thing, he's, you know, he's just an actual bad guy now. Now, but listen, here's why I question the Cena thing, because for Cena, now it's just fighting back.
Yeah.
Is that really a heel turn then? Because it's not what Rude's doing, and not what most heels do. And I just don't think it actually is a heel turn.
No, it isn't. Like, okay, I'll use two good examples.
Okay, go ahead.
The Rockers, the Shawn Michaels thing at the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
When Shawn Michaels turned heel, that was a heel turn.
Mm.
That, you know, and then I probably the best example of all is Hulk Hogan, you know, joining the NWO in 96.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who in the world would have thought back then Hulk Hogan, you know, the so-called greatest wrestler that ever lived, millions of people love this guy, does the charities, doing all this stuff. And he hits a leg drop on his best friend, well, supposed best friend,
right.
You know, and everybody throws crap all over the place. There was a guy trying to get in the ring, if you watch the video. You know, that's a heel turn.
Yeah.
If they do the heel turn with Cena, it's I don't think it's a turn because people have booed him for so long.
Exactly. And yeah, basically, and I can also see him go in the, because this will help continue to help WWE merchandise sales, him going the Bret Hart route where, like, yeah, he's mad at the fans that are against him, but he's still loyal. Like when Bret was doing the Canada thing,
mm-hmm.
where like he was only a bad guy in the United States. And he was still loved in Canada. You know, like I said, I just don't think... And the weird thing is, of course, is that once he does... If he does this, if he does do a heel turn, people will actually like him now. So again, not really a heel turn.
Yeah, that's true. I mean... That's pretty... I mean, like... And would it be WrestleMania? I don't think they should do it at WrestleMania.
No, I think it should just be straight up just Cena, Rock. I don't know why people think that one needs to turn bad. I never understood that. Hogan and Warrior were both good guys.
Mm-hmm.
At WrestleMania 17, Austin and Rock were both good guys until the end. You know, it's not like Bret and Shawn were both good guys. I don't really see why people say, oh, someone needs to be a bad guy. That's because the internet wrestling community seems to be obsessed with bad guys anyway.
I wonder if we'll ever get a heel versus heel main event.
No.
That will be the day.
No, because anytime that I've seen a bad guy versus bad guy match, nobody cares. Because the fans have no one to cheer for there.
That's true.
I use like the tag team match from WrestleMania 13 as an example. It was mm-hmm. Mankind and Vader against...
Oh, yeah, Bulldog and Owen.
Yeah, no one cared, you know. Because you don't have anyone to cheer for. And, you know, it just, whatever. But, so yeah, we'll see what happens with Cena and the, and if he'll grow a spine, I guess you would say at this point.
Mm-hmm. Just like Karen Angle, or just like Karen Jarrett has balls.
Right, yes, exactly. And speaking of TNA continues to focus on their own talent. I saw a commercial for the Video Game Awards that are coming up, and mm-hmm. it's the 45-second spot, I think it was. The three people that are featured in this video are Robert Roode, Robbie E., and Abyss. Not Rob Van Dam, not Jeff Hardy, not, you get my point. It's not any ex-WWE guys. And it looks like, especially for this, because that's a major thing where if there was one time that you would call for a Hardy on, it might be this. Your thoughts?
That Robert Roode, Robbie E, and Abyss, that almost sounds like a joke. Like, Robert Roode, Robbie E, and Abyss all went to an award show once, and
it's not like they're on. They're just in the commercial.
Yeah. Honestly, like, yeah, I agree. Like, a Jeff Hardy, a Rob Van Dam, maybe even an AJ Styles, who is a video game fanatic.
That's true. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's like an uber, you know, lover of video games, if that's even the correct usage of uber, but... that just seems like a weird pairing, especially for a video game award show for a company that hasn't had a video game in like 2-3 years.
Well, that's because it's on Spike TV.
That's true. And what would be even
with that?
And what would be even more funny is if they came out to do an award for like best action game and they had to announce WWE.
We know that's not going to happen because there's no way WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2011 is winning anything.
No.
Unless they create their own category. Best sports entertainment game. I'm sorry, the Harlem Globetrotters didn't have a game in ever.
Damn.
That's what I love about that. It's like, hey, we're sports entertainment. No one else is really calling themselves sports entertainment, so therefore you're number one by default.
Yes.
Because even, let's say one day up in Ring of Honor and TNA start beating WWE, yeah, they'll probably say, nope, they're wrestling. We're sports entertainment. We're not losing.
I could see that. The
only thing that is theoretically under that category is the Harlem Globetrotters.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing.
Yep.
Although, people are creaming over the fact that UFC's calling themselves sports entertainment.
Really? I have not heard of that.
To get into New York.
Oh, well, yeah, to get into the Madison Square Garden. And you know what? I could see that happening. I really could.
It did happen. They're doing it to get into New York.
But I mean, like, having a show in Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and I, like you said, a lot of wrestling fans that might be like anti-UFC because, you know, their love is wrestling. And granted, mine is too. I don't really keep up that much on UFC. But
yeah.
At the same time, you know, for all your bragging, at least UFC provides health benefits.
It does.
You know, I mean, I saw something from you at some point on maybe on Facebook or that you were actually disappointed with the UFC on Fox or...
Well, I just
wanted
to see...
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, because I got to go get something out. Tell the people about that. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right, so just out of curiosity, because one of my best friends is a huge MMA fan, and, you know, the show was on Fox, because I never really watch UFC or MMA, really. So for the hell of it, I just decided to watch, you know, this fight that they'd been... airing commercials and advertising since the summer. So, you know, here's the fight, and it's over in like a minute and a half. And what it's almost like boxing. And I hate to use that comparison because my grandfather, when he was alive, watched boxing every week. But it's true. MMA is like boxing in which you have the big hype. In this case, this was on free TV, which is a good thing. You have the big hype, and the fight's over within a minute and a half. And then you have, like, I mean, obviously they had, you know, backup plans for in case the fight ended early.
Well, they always do. I think even boxing probably used to do that as well.
Yeah. But that's why I'm not so big on MMA is because you have... You know, these fighters, you know, from all over the world, and, you know, and I'm sure they're great athletes. I'm not going to take that away. But when you hype a match up on network television, like Fox, and you've hyped it up since the summer, like I said, and the fight goes a minute and a half, I'm sorry. I just cannot get into it.
Right. No, I understand that. But, you know, that all goes back to the fact that it's real again.
It is.
You know, and that's the thing with wrestling is you expect at least a good main event. And definitely over a minute and 30 for the most part. Unless you're
Jeff Hardy.
I was going to say, unless you're at Victory Road of this year. But like I said, I was just curious about how you felt that went or whatnot. All right, we're going to take a quick promo break again. Of course, don't forget to check out the YouTube page, and here's a promo for that. Jennifer Lopez may claim that she's real, but here's what is real. The Sunset Flip Wrestling Show's YouTube page has returned, and you can check it out at www.youtube.com/sunsetflipshow.
Exciting, it's like you're floating in the air, and it's magician-esque like D. Copperfield.
You're listening to the Sunset Flip Wrestling Show, the only pro wrestling radio show that plays random parody songs like the one that you're listening to right now.
So wave your magic wand up in the air. Wave your magic wand like you just don't care. It's magician-ness, magician-ness.
All right, back with some more Impact Wrestling news. We have, you know, it's rumored that Jackie Moore will not be with the company much longer. Pretty much, I don't remember if it was a Facebook, a Twitter, or I'm pretty sure it wasn't a radio interview. I think it was one of the social networking sites. Where she had mentioned that, you know, all right, well, my contract is expiring soon. Doesn't really look like there's any, you know, any indication that I'm being re-signed. So, what does she do from here? Does she go back to WWE? Does she work some indies? Or at this point, I mean, she's been around for a long, long time, all the way back to the days of even before WCW, before during the territory days, or during the dying out days as Miss Texas. Does she call it a career and say, that's it, I'm done?
You know, I could see her either calling it a career, or I could see her be like an agent for the Divas, sort of be like, you know, a trainer.
But doesn't WWE traditionally have the trainers as men, not women?
True, but I mean, Jackie Moore could, she might fit into that, you know, be like that pioneer of female trainers, you know. But if she retires, I mean, I'm not going to have any problems because she's been pretty much everywhere we could think of.
Yeah.
You know, so and she's had a pretty good career.
The weird thing is for me, like, I think last week I was watching Classics on Demand, and the particular Nitro was actually her debut.
Oh, wow.
Where, like, she, on Nitro, of course, where, I don't remember who she beat up, you know, because that was her thing. She beat up a guy on the outside, and Heenan was amazed, and all of this other stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I could see her absolutely calling it a career, just because what else is there to do?
Exactly.
Assuming that she's money set somehow. You know.
True.
And, you know, that reminds me of what, you know, when you're done, how do you figure out what you want to do next, like, as far as life outside of wrestling? You know, some people have a steady plan, you know, and others are kind of just winging it, like Shawn Michaels and his friggin' adventure show or whatever. Yep. Like, that's eventually going to fail, in my opinion, and then he'll be back in WWE. But it's got to be weird, because I've always said this to people. Wrestling is a different a much different industry than every other place. Like, let's say you went to school for computer designing, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your town, there's probably at least 100 jobs that you can apply for. Maybe you're not getting it for whatever reason, but you can apply for there. Wrestling
right.
has 3 in the United States.
Exactly. and the thing like with say like football, basketball, baseball, like you have this long career, and then you retire. You could end up being an announcer or doing pregame stuff in the studios, you know, and continue to make money,
mm-hmm.
you know, off, you know, after playing. I mean, and I see that a lot of times, either with baseball, football, basketball, hockey, same with coaches, you know, with wrestling, unless you're one of the lucky ones like Jerry Lawler, who, even though technically he isn't retired, you know, has been able
yeah.
to keep a steady job as an announcer for almost 20 years.
No, definitely. I definitely agree with that. I mean, it's amazing, considering how bad he is, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that amazes me even more that he's still there. You know, one thing I've also, because I didn't think I've ever talked to anyone about this, because I think we were off that week, is the Sin Cara injury.
Mm.
Do you think that's it for him?
It might, because if I remember right, they were going to have maybe him against Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania, which would have been an interesting match to see. But with a knee injury and going out 6 to 9 months, the knee, you know, because my mom, she's had 2 knee replacements, you know,
okay.
operations. And is she walking better? Yeah, but I mean, she still has her problems. But she didn't, you know, do flipping moves over the top like Sin Cara does. You tear, you know, a whole ligament out. That's hard to come back from. That really is.
Mm-hmm.
So if WWE says, okay, Sin Cara, you know, this didn't work, we're going to let you go, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, his point of being there, I think, was for either, well, definitely for the match with Mysterio, but maybe even to replace Mysterio. And he, you know, because Mysterio's getting up there, too.
Yeah.
And I just think that this was his last, you know, his last thing, his last shot. That this was it, that he got injured just in time to miss what they wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm. And really, that whole injury was a fluke injury. Like, all he did was just jump. That was it. And he got injured.
Yeah, I don't, you know, like I said, well, I mean, you know, they have Unico now. It is Unico, not with the H, right?
I think. I've never been good.
I don't
with
know. I mean, I saw him at Survivor Series. Like, that was the first time I saw him. And because now he's maskless. And like I said, the first thing I thought of was he looks like Homicide from a distance.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to talk about now, because I just refound this. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to watch this show because it looks like it is so, it's so interesting to me. This is indie news a little bit here. The Wrestling Revolution Project.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this?
I have heard about this.
What
this
do you know
could
about
be
it?
A good show. What do I know? All I know is like, it's like 13 or 14 week long series or something.
It's,
and,
yeah, because it's being treated like an actual TV show.
Yeah, and like everybody who's in it had to change like
gimmicks.
To a new name.
Yes,
yeah, like,
that's my favorite part. Because I'm so tired of seeing the generic indie wrestlers, like, you know, like Jason Sewell. I'm just making up.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming down to the ring. What's his character? He kicks ass?
Exactly. Like, one that I do know is Colt Cabana is going to be known as Punchline.
I love that. That might be the favorite thing. I'm not a big Colt Cabana fan, but I am a fan
yeah.
of this thing. Go ahead. Tell everyone about this. Go ahead. I'm looking forward to rehearing it, too.
So basically, Colt Cabana, for those of you who don't know him or don't remember him as Scotty Goldman, he's going to go as Punchline. He's like this lounge comedian who tells very bad jokes and stuff. I think that's how it is.
That's exactly how it is, and I love it. I am a big fan of it. I also have here looking at Chris Hero's character. Apparently the first look at Chris Hero's character is he's going to be Chris Hyde, and the title of his character reads, "We're All Running From Something." Yes! Wait, hold on, I got another one here. MVP. Alright, we got labels MVP as the Lord of War. And he includes the tagline, "I am a man without a country."
Wow.
I can't wait for this thing. Now, I heard that it's actually not going to be, it's not actually a TV thing. It might actually just be a DVD thing. In which case, I may buy this DVD.
I might, too.
From what I can tell also, it has no titles. Because... Yeah. Let's face it, the guy is presenting it like it's a television show. And when I watch when I watch The Office, not everyone is battling to be CEO. They're not fighting each other. So you can't have titles if you're actually going to do a TV show, cuz no one else really looks like that. Hold on, I think I might have some more people here on our WRP. Wait a minute, this is actually a curse. Brick Shithouse.
What?
It doesn't give a description. Apparently he's the executive bodyguard. Brick Shithouse. Wait, I gotta find more. Hold on. Talk to them about, go talk to the fans about Daniel Bryan and PETA while I research this.
Okay. well, this is the best episode ever. Daniel Bryan has, by PETA, the People Eating Tasty Animal Group. No, actually, that's what we call it.
Wow!
The ethical treatment of animals. Daniel Bryan has been nominated for the top animal-friendly athlete at the Libby Awards. I've never heard of that, too, either.
Yeah.
You can vote for him right now. Here are the other nominees. Chase Utley, who plays for the Phillies, Jake Shields, MMA fighter, and Willis McGahee, football player. So we can vote for Daniel Bryan to win the Libby Award. Yes, that is a real name. The Libby Award for most animal-friendly athlete.
I'm not voting for him. All right, now let's go talk about something fun. All right, Father Dante is on this thing, and his tagline is, "You will kiss the hand of God." All right, we have, who's this? This is Master Murder. He kind of looks like his face is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And his tagline is, "Murder's gonna kill you." All right, well, we got Das Nihilist. Nihilist.
Mm-hmm.
His tagline is, "No pain or pleasure, no black or white, only cold and gray."
Hmm.
Hold on, I got loading up day 4 here. Oh, by the way, all of this can be found on geekweek.com, but you probably have to do a search for it. All right, this guy is Dios Dorado. He's a mask guy. "Never provoke a luchador with a Napoleon complex."
Sweet.
All right, what else? What is this? Day 4? Day 5? Oh, yeah, this is definitely better than talking about Daniel Bryan and PETA. Lord of War. Oh, no, we already know Lord of War. All right. They only have 9 days right now. All right, here we go. BBC. And his is, "Great and good are seldom the same man." Well, that's from Winston Churchill, apparently.
Mm.
Which makes sense since his name is BBC.
BBC.
All right, day 7. Ah, John Tourage. John Tourage says, "No! I'm pissed off now because their tagline is the Sultans of Sunset." No! They are not, I assure you people, they are not the Sultans of this show. Alright, day 8. Oh, here's Chris
Hive.
We have
higher power.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm all working under one thing. We're all running from something. We know that one, right? And here's the last one. And then we'll say final thoughts and they'll be on the show. Oh, this is Brick Shithouse again. They gotta have to say that name differently. It is S-H-I-T-H-O-U-S-E, and it's one word. I guess they could probably say it Shithouse?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But it's definitely Brick Shithouse to me. All right. And he, like I said, he's the executive bodyguard. Retribution is yours, 2012.
Oh, did you read Muncie McGee?
No, where's Muncie McGee?
He's at the top of the page.
On Geek Week?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going by the days. All right, what's Muncie McGee say? Go ahead, read it off.
Just your average, ordinary, liberal redneck.
This is the... I definitely have to try to figure out when this is actually coming out and buy the DVD. As long as it's not overcharged. If it's like $50, I'm not buying it. But if it's at a reasonable price, I probably would. Alright, so that was the Wrestling Revolution Project. Very excited now. There's one thing to look forward to in my life, it's that.
Mm-hmm.
So, your final thoughts on anything else going on in the wrestling world that we didn't touch upon? I'll tell you what, for a show that was filler, this might be the most wrestling news I've ever talked about in one show myself.
This may go down as the best episode ever. Just check out our YouTube page.
Yeah, what's been going on
show.
There? What videos have gone up this week that you can remember?
That I remember. Well, I did a video over the weekend of talking about CZW and Chikara, their big shows. What else did I? There was something else I talked about this week. I'm also going to talk about the Classic of the Week, which will be about the WWE Hall of Fame, one of your favorite topics.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be about Mad Dog Vachon. So I'm going to watch that video.
Oh, good. You got to see Kevin Nash take the leg.
Yes, baby. So
it's so sad. It's so sad. That's what he's most known for now, is that they took his leg away.
Yeah.
What?
The other thing I talked about was I made a list of the 10 most fascinating people in wrestling.
Okay.
Because Barbara Walters, she has this year-end thing of her list of the 10 most fascinating people. So I
Who
just
made
did
her list.
Well, she has a TV special every year that of the like her list of the 10 most fascinating people. I did my list of the 10 most fascinating people in wrestling.
Yeah, but who was on her list? Do you know?
Derek Jeter, Katy Perry,
all right.
Pippa Middleton. Who else was on there?
I don't know. You lost credibility with me when you mentioned Jeter. I mean, it was all downhill from there. Katy Perry's okay. I don't mind Katy Perry.
I actually went to a concert this year. I don't like her, but I went with a friend. I thought I had gone deaf after the show.
All right, but so what, name me like three people that were on your fascinating wrestlers list. Like, I'm hopefully Mantar and
the Boogeyman.
Okay, that's a good start. Good. Okay.
The Goon.
All right.
And who else was on there? Skinner.
Oh, the Alligator Man. Good old Skinner.
Definitely check
that out. Now that I hear the three names, I'll probably want to watch that after this thing is done. All right, so let's say your final goodbyes here. Like you said, that was your final thoughts. Mine is, like I said, I knew that this show, because there wasn't that much wrestling news this week.
No,
so I kind of knew that it was filler, and then Mr. Anonymous was off this week, so his segment's next week. And also next week's going to be Monoxide. He'll be the co-host for next week. But like I said, all in all, there was a lot of wrestling talk on the show, regardless.
There was.
And like I said, usually with the segments, like I usually wind up saying very little about different things. We were pretty diverse today.
We really were.
I'm kind of impressed, especially that Wrestling Revolution project. I'm glad that I know all that I need to know.
Yes.
Right now. What is that saying? And knowing is half the battle?
Yeah.
No, what's the G.I. Joe one?
Yeah, that's it. Now you know, and knowing is half the battle.
There you go. Yeah. I know I was saying it wrong somehow, but... All right, everyone, so we'll check you out next week. And again, don't forget that I don't know if it's going to be the end of the world, like, roundtable. I haven't actually figured out what it's actually going to be called. But it is the 22nd, and it is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Decadance Radio. So definitely more details to come in the next 2 weeks for that. And on the 18th, it will be your full preview of Ring of Honor Final Battle 2011. With that in mind, everyone have a great week.
Peace.